and say it's you and three employees, recognize you're the fourth person there. You're 25% of the company. Do you want to work to dedicate 25% of the business working on vision? No, you need that person working in the business too. So maybe half your time or 25% of your time is working on the vision and processes. But the rest of the time is you got to be delivering work or you got to be doing sales. You're 25% of the staff. If one person or two people are off because they're sick or someone's on vacation, now it's you and one other person. You're literally half of the company. Could you imagine half of Google just walks out the door for 2 weeks? That's going to put a lot of work on the other half. Well, this is true for you too. So realize a small business, you can't just jump to working on the business. We have to move toward it, kind of throttle up in it. Working on the business does not mean hiring a bunch of people to do the work and then spending all the livelong day answering their never-ending questions about how to do the job you used to do. Working on your business is about building systems, period. However, what Rodrigo and so many entrepreneurs miss is that growing a company is not an overnight switch. This is what I just alluded to in my story about Michael Gerber. From doing all of the work to none of the work. The transition from working in the business to working on the business happens over time, slowly, deliberately, one small step followed by another small step. You are starting to see the theme here, right? The small steps. This is the reasoning behind the owner's comp percentages in the instant assessment. Larger percentages for owners when the company is tiny and smaller percentages as the company grows. In the early days of a company, when annual revenues are below $250,000, you are not only the most important employee, you are likely the only employee. If your annual revenue is under $500,000 and you have an employee or two, you are still the key employee. And that means you must be doing 90% of the work. You're bringing home the bacon and frying it up in the pan. The other 10% of your time you spend recording everything you do so that you can systematize it for your other few employees or contractors to do the work without your input. Basically, you are a true entrepreneur building systems 10% of the time and a hardworking, hard-selling employee of your own company 90% of the time. This is why you get such a big salary in the beginning. No more of this bottom of the bowl stuff. You can't live on minimum wage or less. Say it again, once more with feeling, my business serves me. Or you can say like Bill Clinton, my business serves me. Whatever serves you, say it. My business serves me. I do not serve my business. Paying yourself next to nothing for hard work is servitude. Always start with caps, where you are now, and increase by 1% each quarter. And if you can move it more aggressively, do that. As your annual revenue grows past $500,000, you'll transition to spending more time building systems. Now you're a systems developer 20% of the time, a manager 10% of the time, and an employee 70% of the time. Note that the better you are at creating systems, the less management is required because the recipe for how to get things done is consistent. As annual revenue grows past $1 million, your salary percentage will drop even further because you will be working less and less in the business and more on the business. However, remember that it is likely you will always work in your business. Because even if you are a master of building systems and spend 80% of your time in that magic zone, you'll still spend roughly 20% of your time handling the big sales. Almost every entrepreneur to CEO is in charge of the big sale. You bet your bottom dollar Jeff Bezos is in the room when Amazon is closing a $100 million deal. And when your big deals are on the table, you will be right there, sitting at its head. Ironically, getting back in your business is the best way to create systems. And as you put the systems in place and your revenue increases to accommodate them, you can slowly plug in great people to implement those great systems. The bottom line is this: don't cut your salary to make the numbers work. I repeat, do not cut your salary to make the numbers work. The goal of every business is health, and that is achieved through efficiency. Your martyr syndrome is not doing anyone any favors. Making yourself the sacrificial lamb does not promote efficiency. It, in fact, hinders it. Your tax tap. Greg Eckler loves tax time. Greg, the owner of Denver Realty Experts LLC, read an early draft of Profit First and started applying it to his business. We are close friends, truly close friends from college, and we're in the same business fraternity, Delta Sigma Pi. So he was kind enough to read the draft and give me feedback. And Greg, if you're listening to this, bro, you stiffed me on the tickets for the Virginia Tech game. That's all I'm saying. I know your back got thrown out, but that's no excuse. And to blackmail him to get this job done of reviewing my book, I told him that if he finished reading it and implemented Profit First, I would never reveal his fraternity nickname, which was Elk Turd. Oops. Sorry, Greg. Back to Greg and his bizarre love of tax time. I mean, who loves tax time? Good old Elk Turd does, that's who. And why does he love tax time? Because one of the benefits of using the Profit First system is that Greg no longer worries about having enough money to pay his taxes. I have all my docs to my accountants by January 4th because I can't wait to hear back from them about what I owe. I had $30,000 in my tax account at the end of 2015 and only needed $10,000 to cover my bill. Woohoo! Bonus time. Greg told me he has stuck with Profit First since it started, and he sees no reason to stop. Greg said, "It's the peace of mind knowing that everything is taken care of with a quick glance on my bank app. Log in, peace." Profit First is not about accounting to the exact penny. That's what your bookkeeper and accountant do. It is about handling your accounting quickly and easily with numbers that are as close to accurate as possible. We work with percentages off of the real revenue number, and this is true for all your small plate accounts. The tax plate, so we are clear, is designed to pay the direct tax liabilities of the business and, this is the big one, the personal income taxes of the owners. Let me say that again because this often gets missed. Your company, assuming you own it, will reserve your personal income tax liability for you and then pay it. Here's the deal. You started your business in part to achieve financial freedom. So if that is true, shouldn't your company pay your taxes for you? Hell yeah. So that is exactly what is going to happen. When your taxes are due and you submit your quarterlies, the company will send the payment in for you. Don't get stuck in the micro details here. The system also works if you have taxes drawn from your paycheck. Maybe you don't take distributions as you would from an LLC, but take a paycheck from an S corp or a C corp. Then the company will reimburse you for your taxes. All taxes, including, scratch that, especially yours, are paid by your business, not you. Got it? Good. The first step in getting your tax tap is to determine your income tax rate. Taxes range all over the place, depending on your amount of personal income and corporate profit and the area you live in. As of this writing, many entrepreneurs have an average income tax rate of 35% or so. For others, it will be less. And in some countries, it can be 60% or more. One goal of the Profit First system is that the company takes care of all forms of tax responsibility. It's mandatory that you talk with your accountant so she can advise you on all the ways you and your business will be taxed. Here are three different approaches for determining your tax tap. 1. Look at your personal and business tax returns. Add up your taxes and then determine the percentage of taxes you paid compared to your real revenue. Do this again for the prior 2 years. Looking at your taxes as a percentage of the real revenue for the last 3 years will give you a good sense of your ongoing tax responsibility. 2. From your accountant, get your estimated tax responsibility for your business, year to date, and then determine your tax percentage of your year to date real revenue. And 3. Or simply use 35% for US-based businesses. And if you have a business in another country, simply use the average prevailing rate of taxes for an individual at your income rate as your tax number. It may not be perfect, but is usually pretty effective. And while the optimal number will have you neither paying additional taxes at the end of the year nor receiving a refund, it is better to guess a little too high, get a refund, and consider what to do with the extra cash than to get a call from your accountant, Keith, because you don't have enough money. and have to ask your daughter if you can borrow from her piggy bank. Trust me. But hold on. If the tax rate is 35%, again, for U.S. citizens with higher levels of income, why would I only reserve 15% for taxes, as noted in the instant assessment I shared earlier? Let's do a little simple math. Now we're going to determine the percentage that stays in your OPEX account after you move money to your profit account, your owner's comp account, and your tax account. The amount left over for expenses is likely going to be somewhere between 40 and 60%. This is the money you have available to pay all your expenses. Next, subtract the percentage from 100%. So if your total OPEX account is at 55%, you're left with 45%. That 45% is the amount you'll be taxed on. More often than not, expenses are not taxed. This is why some accountants encourage you to buy equipment or make other large purchases toward the end of the year. Now multiply your non-operating percentage, in this case 45%, by your taxable income percentage, in this case we'll say 35%. You end up with a percentage of approximately 16%, which is your tax percentage. Now that you have a more accurate picture of your actual percentages, you're ready to get started. In the next chapter, I'll take you through the first year of Profit First and beyond and outline everything you need to know from day one. Congratulations, you survived. Send me a selfie. And people do this, so send me a selfie. Just do it on Twitter. My Twitter handle's at Mike Michalowicz. I can sense your hunger to put this into practice in your business. I really can. So wipe that drool off your chin and let's start doing it. Take action. Apply your advanced knowledge. Step one, following the steps I detailed earlier, determine your custom profit, owner's comp, and tax percentages based on your industry and other factors. Set these as your TAPs, your targets. This is the X on the map of where we are heading, but it is not where we are starting. Step two, because you choose to get down to the nitty-gritty and determine your exact profit, owner's comp, and tax percentages, stop now and adjust the numbers in your instant assessment chart. Step three, set your caps. For the remainder of this quarter, set your caps 1% better than what you have done historically, meaning increase your profit, owner's comp, and tax all by 1% and cut your operating expenses by 3%. Every quarter, we will push the caps to an even better percentage. Over time, you will continue a relentless march toward a healthier and healthier company and fatter wallet. Chapter 6, Putting Profit First into Motion. Jorge Morales and Jose Payne unofficially stand as the first business owners to implement Profit First after reading my book. Not this one, but The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur, which had a short section outlining the Profit First idea. After I released that book, I held a meetup for my early readers in Newark, New Jersey, a popular vacation spot up there with North Korea. Jorge and Jose made the trek up from South Florida to attend. They had paid for their trip up to New Jersey out of their profit account. But this wasn't just a business trip. They brought their spouses and toured New York City. Once they had finished their extensive sightseeing of Newark, after the event, Jorge and Jose had gone all in on Profit First, even based on the meager two paragraphs that I wrote about it. And they were seeing results. When Jorge Morales and Jose Payne started specialized ECU repair in 2007, they dreamed of one day enjoying what they perceived to be the big perk of owning a business, profit, or extra money to spend on their own interests, all while working less. Here's where many seasoned entrepreneurs chuckle knowing because they think Jorge and Jose are naive dreamers. Don't they know that entrepreneurship is about personal sacrifice? The only reason free time exists is so that you can use the time to work more. And unless they're exceptionally lucky, it will be a long time before they earn enough extra cash to indulge in their little hobbies, right? Wrong. 2 years into operating their own business, Jorge and Jose had decided that the only way they could reap the benefits of entrepreneurship would be to increase their salaries a little bit each year. They were already better off than most entrepreneurs in that they did have enough to pay their own salaries and hadn't fallen into the death trap of debt. Then they read the small section on profit first in The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur and began applying the system almost immediately. Over the next few years, Jorge and Jose tweaked profit first to suit their rapidly growing businesses, adjusting their profit account percentages and allowing profit first to control that growth so that they never ended up underwater because of large purchases or ridiculously high payroll. In 2013, they surpassed their accountant's revenue projections. Every year, they have increased their sales revenue, and they are on track to break $1 million in annual revenue within the next 2 years. Their staff has tripled in size, but thanks to their shrewd and careful planning and the Profit First system, they are not struggling under the weight of too high operating expenses. More important, their business is serving them, with salaries appropriate for their positions and the work they do at specialized ECU repair, and with significant profit account disbursements that have enabled them to live the lifestyle they envisioned when they started the business. The dream all entrepreneurs have, that our business will improve the quality of our lives, not destroy it, is being lived by Jorge and Jose. They do not serve their business serves them. As I wrote this revised and expanded version of Profit First, I checked in with Jorge and Jose to find out how Profit First was working for them a few years later. Jorge excitedly talked about his kite surfing and snow surfing trips. He's an adventurer at heart. Then we got down to business. "We have 6 employees now, and we pay well above industry average," Jorge said. "We were able to pay cash for expensive equipment that, over time, will help us streamline and earn more profit, and we increased our profit percentage to 9%. Let me remind you that this 9% profit is above and beyond the nicey-nice paychecks they pay themselves every couple of weeks. Jorge explained that following the Profit First system means they always have enough cash on hand to take advantage of deals that save them money, such as discounts for paying an entire year's worth of services in advance. And once it was up and running, Profit First enabled them to quickly make purchasing decisions without worrying about whether or not they could afford it. While he wasn't on board initially, their accountant is now convinced Jorge and Jose aren't just lucky guys. They are using a system that bakes profit into every transaction. Their accountant is now fully on board and supporting them each step of the way. Profit First works, period. Whether you use the percentages I provided for you in the instant assessment or choose the path of assessing all the nuances of your business and industry, as discussed in Chapter 5, and arrive at your own perfect target allocation percentages, it will work. How can it work with different percentages, you ask? Because your profit, owner's comp, and tax taps are simply targets. You aren't going to start with them. You are going to build toward them. And as you build, you will transform your business into a lean, mean efficiency machine that generates profit on every deposit, no matter how small. In this chapter, I will teach you exactly how to implement Profit First, step by step, day by day, month by month, and so on. Your profit percentage may seem steep or out of reach, but by the end of this year, you will be closer to it than you thought you could be. You may even leave it in the dust. Day 1. First, tell your people. Jorge and Jose included their financial professionals in the implementation of Profit First right from the start. "When we first learned about Profit First, it made sense to us," Jorge told me in one of our many phone calls about their progress. "I pulled the numbers and then, with our bookkeeper and accountant, we did a projection for the year. Then we worked in the profit account percentage we wanted to start with." With buy-in from their accountant on the principles and process of Profit First, Jorge and Jose have been able to systematically apply the method to their business with great success. Their accountant helps them meet their Profit First goals and stay the course. But not every accounting professional will get it. You may tell them about the system and they'll say, "Phooey." I'll tell you how to address them in just a bit. Just know you can be successful going it alone, or better yet, get the support of another accounting professional who does get it. To make your life easier, I've compiled a list of accountants, bookkeepers, financial planners, and others who not only understand profit first, but are doing it for themselves. Imagine a stockbroker who says you should go all in on XYZ stock and then doesn't go all in on it himself. I mean, does he really believe in that stock? Clearly, not enough to put his life savings into it. I wouldn't invest in the advice of someone who isn't taking his own advice. Our recommended professionals not only get profit first, they use it for themselves and they use it with their existing clients. To get the list of financial professionals who specialize in profit first, go to profitfirstprofessionals.com and we will get you a perfect match with an individual or a team if you prefer who can get up to speed within a few minutes and help you for as long as you need it. Get your accountant / bookkeeper on board. When your money people hear about profit first, be prepared for them to scowl a little. On the other hand, your accountant or bookkeeper may get it. She may be enthusiastic and ready to support you. Unfortunately, from my experience, most won't. To your accountant or bookkeeper, the mere suggestion of taking your profit first may cause her head to spin in circles, like the scene from The Exorcist. You need to understand her perspective. Your accounting professional has grown up under the laws and rules of the past. Accounting is the way it is today because that's how it has always been. If you want to manage cash flow, the old established rule is to budget accordingly and stick with it. Just do what your accountant says and never deviate, and you will be profitable. If you have a progressive accounting professional, she will be all over profit first. She will thirst for ways to support you better and make your job of making a profit easier. Tell her to pick up this book to get started, and definitely tell her to check out Profit First Professionals so that she can gain access to the special training and/or tools for accounting professionals. But what if your accountant or bookkeeper stands her ground and tells you not to implement Profit First? Do this. Ask her whether she has hands-on experience implementing Profit First or a similar pay yourself first system. And if she does, ask her to explain why it doesn't work. Prepare yourself and totally prepare yourself for this. It's going to be a blank stare. Prepare yourself for a blank stare. Because if she has properly implemented pay yourself first plans, she will know it does work every time. If your accountant or bookkeeper then tells you that no one else does this, you should slap her. And I'm saying this figuratively, of course, figuratively only. Because the fact that she has not told her dozen clients about it doesn't mean the whole world follows suit. Quite the opposite. More and more businesses are doing profit first every day. If your accountant or bookkeeper continues to act like a stubborn ox, ask her, how many of your clients are consistently profitable under your direction? All of them? Half? Any? Wait for her to mumble or cry or commit Harry Carey. Most accountants using the old GAAP method of cash management are lucky to have a handful of profitable clients. Almost all of the remaining clients are likely struggling to stay afloat. This should be their wake-up call. Ask yours to read Profit First cover to cover and support you in the process. If they are unwilling to listen to you, remember, you are the client and their job is specifically to support you in maximizing your profitability. Find new accounting professionals who not only support Profit First, but are trained in it. That was profitfirstprofessionals.com. I got it up there. I got it that you got it, but I'm adamant about this. They need to support you. And as you leave your old fuddy-duddy accountant, give them a copy of Profit First as a parting gift and a poster-sized picture of me sticking my tongue out at them. Second, set up your accounts. Before we begin, you better have already set up your foundational 5 accounts at your primary bank. Remember, they were income, profit, owner's comp, tax, and OPEX, and the 2 accounts at your no temptation bank. It's that second bank that you found, a new bank to you, and those accounts were profit hold and tax hold. If you haven't done it yet, what are you waiting for? I mean, how are we going to make progress here if you aren't doing your part? Do not, I repeat, do not try to make a shortcut and just do this in a spreadsheet or accounting system. And absolutely, do not try to do all this in your head. Don't wait another second. Set up those darn accounts. Damn it. Now you're going to add the nickname for each account by adding the cap next to the account name and also put your tap in parentheses. For example, if you are nicknaming your profit account, the cap is 8% and the tap is 15%, nickname the account profit, and then put a space, 8%, then put another space, tap 15%. And that tap 15% put in parentheses. This allows you to quickly identify which money is going where currently and the ultimate allocation percentage you are trying to achieve. Within seconds of logging into your bank account, you will be extremely clear on which money is available for what purpose, how much you are allocating, and the target you've set for your cash flow. The final setup of your accounts at your bank should look something like this. Now, of course, I'm reading this to you, so you'll have to listen to me as I go through this specifically. First, you'll have your income account, the word income. Then you'll have your profit account, the word profit. But then you'll have your caps first and your tap second. So profit, in this example, I have 8%. And then parentheses, the word or the letters tap, T-A-P, and then 15%. Next one, I have owner's comp, 20%, right? That's the current allocation. Then in parentheses, tap 25%. Tax, 5%. Tap, 15%. So, right, what that means is currently I'm allocating 5% of the income to tax, right? Tax 5%, but I'm targeting ultimately and getting to a target allocation percentage of 15% for that tax. And then the last example of the five accounts, of course, is OPEX. I hope you said that before I did. OPEX 67%, that's the current cap. And then the TAP is 45%. So we're trying to reduce it. And we know this all instantly. Again, this is all downloadable. So if you want to see a graphic of this, just go to my resources page. But all this is downloadable. But when you log into your bank account and have it set up this way, you know instantly where you stand. You look at the owner's comp and say, okay, the owners are taking 20% of the top line. They're targeting 25%. OPEX is currently 67%, but we got to move it down to 45%. You can know exactly where you are and where you need to be. Caps. Start out easy. We're making progress now, baby. We have the account set up at your bank and we are getting super practical with the nicknames. We have determined the target allocation percentages, TAPs, for each account during the instant assessment phase. But TAPs are simply the vision. TAPs are where we are headed. TAPs are not where we start. We're going to start with a manageable profit, a doable owner's comp, and a reasonable tax reserve that will allow adequate time to cut down on expenses, start finding profit opportunities within your business, and adjust to the new system. The percentages we are about to assign to each account are going to be called CAPs. I know I'm repeating stuff here, but it's important you get super familiar with this. CAPS, again, is the current allocation percentages. For your CAPS, we'll start at our day zero contribution levels for each account and then add 1%, bringing us to day one of your profit first implementation. This may mean your day zero is zilch for a few of the accounts. If your business has never had a profit, or if you've sometimes had a profit and sometimes a loss, your profit's basically been zero. Therefore, our easy day one start for the profit account will be 1% cap. That's 0% historically plus 1% starting today. And we'll bump it up as we start getting into our quarterly rhythm. And in the book, I have a graphic, again, available for download, of all the accounts. Day zero is where you stand today. The adjustment, the percentage we're adjusting, and gets us to day one. So day zero is where we simply started. Day one is literally today. So you make these adjustments, you move the numbers, the percentages to a what I call a better position, improving profit, owner's comp and tax, and reducing the owner's expenses. If your company historically has paid taxes of 5% of your total revenue, we're going to set up your tax cap reserve at 6% by simply adding 1% to your day zero tax allocation of 5%. If your pay represented 17% of your income, we add 1% to your 17% and you have 18% owner's compensation cap, and so on. Even if our targets are much higher, we start with what we've got plus 1% for profit, owner's comp, and tax. We then reduce the operating expenses by the cumulative of the percentage adjustments we made to the other three accounts. Why start with small percentages when we likely could do more? The primary goal here is to establish a new automatic routine for you. I want the amounts to be so small you don't even feel them. The goal is to set up the automatic allocations immediately and then adjust the percentages each quarter until we are aligned with our target distribution percentages. Take small, easy steps and you will gain powerful momentum. Practical to the core, Jorge and Jose started out with a modest profit first percentage of 2%. Because their decision was made more than 5 years ago before I finessed this system, their number was not based on the 1% rule I just shared with you. They chose an allocation of 2% because initially, Jorge was reluctant to begin implementing profit first, even though he knew it made perfect sense. I think by going slowly, I was able to see how profit first could work, Jorge explained. What it really came down to was I realized that at 2%, there was no excuse not to try it. Because if your business can't afford to set aside 2% of your revenue, it's probably not a business worth pursuing. Start slow. Real slow. Put the percentages at a level where there is no excuse not to try. These starting cap percentages you set are your quarterly allocation percentages. We're going to use them for the rest of this quarter, whether the next quarter begins next week or in 91 days. Most businesses have never taken a profit before and just pay the owner as close to a regular salary as possible. In this case, the zero profit will be 0%. Don't get upset about that. Most companies have no historical profit. You are among friends here. In other cases, owners take money out of the business whenever there is any sitting around and they aren't sure whether those dollars are considered owner's comp or profit. The answer is simple. All of it is owner's comp and none of it is profit. In this case, your day zero profit percentage is 0%. Then there are circumstances where your income statement says there is a profit, but you only took money out to support your personal lifestyle as best as you could. For our purposes, this is again a situation of no profit. Set day zero profit to 0%. Your day zero owner's comp is the pay that you received from the company this year, either in paychecks or distributions, and has not been classified as profit already, as I explained in the prior paragraph. And to be super duper clear, you likely had no profit, so the owner's comp will be all the pay you took. Divide your owner's comp by the real revenue for your company, and you will have your historical owner's comp percentage. If you are still a little unclear on what goes to profit and what goes to owner's comp, simply do this. Put 0% to profit and put any money you and any other owners of the business have received into the category of owner's comp and figure out the historical percentage of real revenue. By the way, if you look at the income tax returns for each owner in your business, you can find the owner's comp there. Just add it up. Your day zero tax is the amount of tax that your business, not you personally, has paid in taxes. Has your company paid taxes directly to the government? Yes? Then add up that amount. Has the company paid the government directly taxes on your behalf? Meaning, did you get a tax bill for personal income and then have the company write out a check to pay it? Yes? Then add that in. But did you get distributions or paychecks from your company and then pay the tax man out of your own pocket? In that case, you paid your own income taxes and your business did not. And you would not add this into your calculation. And just a little caveat here, if you're a company where you get a paycheck, meaning like you're an S-corp or something, and your taxes are taken out of your paycheck, that means you personally are paying your taxes. You're getting a gross pay, whatever it may be, and then the government is taking money out of your gross pay. That's you paying the taxes, not your business, and therefore you don't add it to the calculation. In most cases, businesses have never paid taxes on behalf of their owners, even though they should, so the calculation here is easy. You put the day zero taxes to 0%, or possibly a very low percentage to account for the corporate taxes paid. The norm for most businesses, and therefore yours, I suspect, is that the businesses never paid a profit to the owners nor paid taxes on their behalf. So, in this case, we set profit to 0% and tax to 0% and owner's comp to the total payments to the owner's comp divided by real revenue. And if this totally confuses you, do not worry at all. The profit first system is self-correcting. Just set profit and tax historical to 0% and figure out the percentage for owner's comp. The operating expense historical percentage is everything else. It should be reflected on your income statement. It includes all your expenses from cost of goods sold to SG&A and every cost in between. And if you're not familiar with what SG&A stands for, it stands for sales, general, and administrative costs. The only exception is whether or not you made an adjustment for real revenue, and that I explained earlier on in this book. then your expenses are all expenses, except what you adjusted to get to real revenue. If you are still confused, it is okay. We will make it really simple. Just put all your expenses in here. Then divide real revenue into the expense number. Your real revenue and total income will be the same number. Then go with this percentage. These numbers do not need to be perfect. If you are the accounting type, you're going to want to get this figured out to the penny, but this is not necessary, not possible, and not even helpful. The goal here is to get a rough starting point. The Profit First system is designed to just get started now. That's the primary goal, and will, over time, be tweaked and adjusted to get the perfect percentages. The goal here, again, let's just get started. Close enough is close enough. They said it's close enough for horseshoes. It's close enough for hand grenades. It's close enough for Profit First too. Just get started. After going through these steps, your day zero percentages may look something like this. The income, of course, there is no percentage. That's your income. Profit account may be set to zero for your day zero. Owner's comp may be 4% for day zero. Tax may be 0%. And operating expenses may be 96%. From these percentages, we can see that the company had no historical profit, had paid the owner or owner's comp of the business 4% of the income, real revenue, and 96% of the income that came in went to pay bills. In fact, this is more than an example. These are the exact caps of one of my prior businesses from years and years back. Just for a hoot, I decided to look at my old business, Olmec Systems, from the late 90s, before I had developed Profit First. At this time, the business was running check to check from one bank account. In 1999, the business did just over $1 million in revenue. My business partner and I took home $40,000, and the company blew through $960,000 in expenses. Not much of a hoot. That was ugly. And I had no idea. It is as if someone had tied my hands behind my back, blindfolded me, jammed a ball gag in my mouth. I'm not suggesting that I ever experienced this. And then put it into one of those machines that blows money all around, kind of like a human-sized snow globe of money, without the ability to catch any with my hands, or my mouth, or even with my feet. Those percentages were my reality, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're yours. Now that we know your day zero percentages, we're going to ease into Profit First. To do this, simply add 1% to your day zero profit, 1% to your owner's comp, and 1% to your tax, and reduce your operating expenses by 3%. In my example, for my old company, the day zero profit was 0%. So adding 1%, the new profit cap is 1%. My day zero tax allocation was also 0%. So I add 1%, and my tax cap became 1%. My owner's comp was 4%, so now I set it to 5%. My operating expenses were 96%, so it now gets adjusted down by 3 percentage points, so now it's 93%. The accounts would look like this. Income is always just income, but profit now is 1% with a tap of 10%. Owner's comp is a cap of 5% with a tap of 10%. Taxes, a cap of 1%, a tap of 15%. OPEX is a cap of 93% with a tap all the way down to 65%. Hopefully you see the immediate implications on my then $1 million business. My business partner and my compensation will immediately go from $40,000 annually to $50,000 annually. We would have $10,000 of profit at the end of a full year, and we'd also have $10,000 reserved in taxes to help cover our personal tax bills. And we are now forced by my company to run the business off of $930,000 a year instead of $960,000 a year. I am sure we could and can find a way because now it is crystal clear what I must do. Third, make your first distributions. You know that saying, today is the first day of the rest of your life? I love it. To me, it represents the profound realization that we can change our lives and our businesses in a moment. Now is the time. This very moment, we'll make a profit for your business, and we will be profitable every day going forward. Please don't just read this and then move on to the next chapter. I want you to take action now. Right now, in this moment, look at your bank balance in your original primary account, which we've renamed your OPEX account. Then subtract any outstanding checks and payments you have made from that account. transfer the remainder of the money into your income account. Now we're going to do our first allocation. Divide up the money in the income account into all the other accounts, profit, owner's comp, tax, and OPEX, based on the caps you've set. This is your first ever allocation and will be the only thing you ever do with the income account, besides receiving future deposits from sales. Let's do the allocation right now. Say you had $5,000 in your old primary bank account. You have renamed your account OPEX and determined that you had $3,000 in checks and payments still waiting to clear. That means you have $2,000 currently available. Transfer that $2,000 to the income account. Then transfer all the money from the income account to the respective accounts based on percentages. Run your percentages on the $2,000 and move that money into the accounts. Continuing my example, it would allocate the $2,000 as follows. The income account, which had the $2,000 now, goes to zero as all the money gets allocated to profit, owner's comp, tax, and OPEX based on the caps we set. The profit account, which was set to a 1% cap, now gets $20. The owner's comp account with a 5% cap gets $100. The tax account with a 1% cap gets $20. And the OPEX, which is currently at a cap of 93%, gets $1,860. As you see the numbers allocated, you will see that while the percentages aren't pretty, it is obvious that a huge portion of your money is going to expenses. It feels good to know you now have a system and have clarity, but the immediate picture is ugly, and that is kind of what we want because over time you will be motivated to make the allocation percentages better and better. You will be motivated to reduce expenses, and perhaps even more important, you will find ways to increase your profitability via innovations, thinking up new, better, and more efficient steps. This system will make it undeniably clear on what money you have and what purpose it is being used for. And with this clarity, you can make much better decisions to improve the health of your business. Now that you've heard an example, do you have any deposits to make today? If so, tally up the deposits, put them in the bank, and then immediately distribute the money to all the other bank accounts. Do this for every deposit going forward. If you have lots of deposits, don't worry. You don't need to do this every single day or multiple times a day. We're going to get you into a twice-a-month rhythm shortly that will make this process manageable. Fourth, our first day, our first celebration. Congrats! And I'm not saying that lightly. You've just taken a big step. This is likely the first time in your entire business life that you have deliberately accounted for your profit first. Before anything else, you made sure you addressed your profit, your personal income, and your tax responsibilities. That's a big deal. And it's a big step to a very, very healthy business. Kudos to you. Enjoy a nice margarita tonight. You know I'm a margarita guy. That is, unless you don't like margaritas. In that case, tell me and I'll drink it in your honor. Week 1, cut expenses. Now that we are moving money into our profit, owner's comp, tax, and OPEX accounts, we need to get the money from somewhere. There are only two ways to do that, by increasing sales and cutting expenses. Increasing sales is very doable. You did read The Pumpkin Plan and Surge, right? And is the key for colossal profitable growth. But it takes time and it won't happen overnight. Cutting expenses is generally a very quick process and is usually very easy. From all the businesses I've met, it is pretty easy for most of them to cut 10% to 20% of expenses overnight, such as frivolous costs like unused recurring membership fees, office space that impresses no one, that expensive car that is justified because it is an expense, and perhaps even extra staff who aren't helping out your cause much. Cutting unnecessary expenses might bring you some psychological pain, but it's a whole lot easier than trying to conjure new sales out of nothing. Jorge and Jose run their business based on what they can afford to do today, not what they hope to be able to afford someday. This means that they sometimes have to wait to hire someone or make a high-ticket purchase. When big expenses showed up, Jorge explained, we would sit down and ask ourselves, do we really need this? if we determined it would hurt our profits at the end of the year, we didn't buy it. Here we have just accounted for at least 3%, 1% in each of the profit, owner's comp, and tax accounts of our income. So we need to cover that by cutting 3% from our expenses. To do that, I need you to print out two things: your expenses from the last 12 months and any recurring expenses, rent, subscriptions, internet access, training classes, magazines, etc. Now, add up all the expenses and then multiply that number by 10%. You must cut costs by 10%. Now, no ifs, ands, or buts. So why cut by at least 10% when we only need 3%? Because cutting costs doesn't mean the bills go away overnight. It may take a month or two to pay down balances owed on expenses we eliminate. More important, we need to start building cash reserves, because by the start of the next quarter, we're going to move another 3% to your profit, owner's comp, and tax accounts, and then another 3% the quarter after that. So we'll be accounting for that money quickly. You can easily find your first 10% in cuts by doing the following. 1, cancel whatever you don't need to help your business run efficiently and keep your customers happy. 2, negotiate every remaining expense, except payroll. I share a lot more about cutting expenses in the coming chapters. You're about to become a frugal, not cheap, entrepreneur. You will learn to use only what you need and not be wasteful. You will pay fairly for what you use, but you will use less, and you are going to love it. Twice a month, the 10th and 25th. Many years ago, I explained the Profit First system to my friend Deborah Courtwright. Deborah runs DAC Management, a bookkeeping business. I'll give you one guess on her middle initial. Since the day she integrated the Profit First system into her own business, Deborah has used it to save one company after another. Actually, she has more than just saved companies. She consistently turns them into cash cows. When I first taught her how to use Profit First with her clients, I drove down to her office in Fairfield, New Jersey, to spend the day going over all the advanced strategies. Just an hour into our training, she had not only mastered the concepts, she was on the phone with one of her clients, helping her set up a profit account. I always have my mobile office with me. It's a backpack with a laptop, other electronic gadgetry, and the critical life-saving essentials like Milano cookies. So while Deborah went over the basics with her client, I knocked out a few tasks on my to-do list. I knew I had some bills due, so I went into my online bank account to look at the OpEx account and ensure that all of the disbursements were current. Yep, profit account was up to date, tax account looks good, owner's comp account, check. Other advanced accounts, which we'll discuss later in the book, all good. Now it was time to pay my bills from the OpEx account. "Why are you paying your bills today?" Deborah asked, totally startling me. I had no idea she was behind me, looking over my shoulder at the screen, and I practically spit out my coffee. If you met Deborah, you would never guess that she's a fully trained super ninja. She must be, because she has an ability to appear next to you without your noticing, especially when you're on the verge of doing something stupid with your finances. Confused, I replied, because I have time, and they're due. Deborah said, "Well, that's dumb." Ninjas don't mince words. That's when Deborah taught me the 10th and 25th cash flow rhythm. That is, paying expenses twice a month, on the 10th and the 25th. And that was the day that the process became integral to Profit First. Thanks, Deborah, if that's your real name. I implemented the process in my business immediately. I let the bills come in and I deposited income. But that was it. I no longer did accounting when I had time or when someone called to check to see if I'd received an invoice. I got into a rhythm. I did my accounting every 10th and 25th, or the business day prior to the 10th or 25th, if it fell on a weekend or a holiday. First, I tallied all the new deposits that had gone in over the last few weeks, and did the Profit First allocations, moving money into each account. Then I tallied up all the bills and put them in the system. A little bit of magic started to happen. I became less and less reactive about bills. I didn't immediately look at the bank account when I got a big bill and wonder why I spent so much and when I could pay this one off. Instead, I started to feel more in control. By looking at my bills and my deposits twice a month, on the same days each time, I could see a pattern. I noticed that 80% of my bills were due at the beginning of the month, and that few were due in the second half. And I saw how my deposits were pretty equally dispersed over the month. I realized that I had many small recurring bills that added up to a lot of money and were unnecessary expenses. I started to see trends and understand my cash flow. I didn't start to stack bills, paying what I could and then putting the ones I didn't pay back in a stack. I started to manage bills and cancel unnecessary stuff. I started to pay bills on time, every bill. Liz Dobrinska, the graphics guru who designed my website, told me, "I don't know what happened, Mike, but you now pay on time every time. I wish all my customers were like you." Before I started following Deborah's advice, I paid Liz inconsistently. Sometimes I paid the bill the day it arrived. Other times I sat on it for 60 or 90 days. It wasn't because I was trying to take advantage of her. I was simply in reactionary mode. My method of bookkeeping was not an effective way to understand my cash flow or to keep my critically important vendors happy. 10th and 25th rhythm changed all that. Here's how to get started. Step 1, deposit all revenue into your income account. Step 2, every 10th and 25th day of the month, transfer the total deposits from the prior 2 weeks to each of your small plate accounts based upon your caps and add it to any money, if any, that is already in there. For example, let's say you have $10,000 in total deposits for the past 2 weeks. Based on the following example percentages, here's how you would allocate the $10,000. Income. This account, which had the $10,000, goes to zero as all the money gets allocated. Profit, with the caps of 1%, has a tap of 10%. $20 was here. Remember, we did that earlier on. $20 was here, and now we allocate 1% of that $10,000. That's $100. So we add $100, and now we have $120 in the profit account. Owner's comp had $100 in there before, and the cap is 5%. So 5% of the $10,000 is $500. So $100 plus the $500 we added is now $600 in the owner's comp account. Tax had a 1% cap, had $20. We add $100. Now it's at $120. And the operating expenses, which had a 93% cap, had $1,860 in there. We are now adding $9,300. So now the new total in the OPEX count is $11,160. Step 3. Transfer the full account balances for both your tax and profit accounts to the respective accounts at your second, No Temptation Bank. So the profit account, which had the $120 in it now, we transfer that total to profit hold at the second bank. The profit account at your current bank will go back to zero once the transfer is complete, and the profit hold account will have that $120 now in it. The owner's comp account, of course, stays the same. The OPEX stays the same at your current bank. But the tax account, we have a no temptation version of that at the second bank. It's called tax hold. There's also $120 in that tax account at your current bank. We're going to invoke a transfer to the second bank, and now $120 will be at that second bank. So the profit and the tax accounts at the current bank both go to zero, and the monies have been transferred over to that second bank. It's out of sight. It's out of mind. Step 4. You have $600 in your owner's comp account for which to pay yourself. Take only what you've allocated as your biweekly salary and leave the rest to accumulate. For example, we'll say your biweekly salary is $500. This would leave $100 in the account. Before we continue, I know you are looking at these percentages and dollar allocations and thinking, what the hell? No one can live on these numbers. All the money is going right out the window. Exactly! This system will bring immediate clarity on how much money pours right through your business, just like a bucket full of holes. We will adjust these percentages soon and relentlessly over time. But for now, even if it's painful, revel in the clarity, albeit painful clarity. Step 5. With the remaining $11,160 in the operating expense account, pay your bills. For this example, we'll say you have $10,000 in expenses this pay period, which should make you a little sick to the stomach. We're going to cut that down. Leave the remaining $1,160 in the account. At the completion of this process, the accounts would look like this. Income would be zero, right? We allocated everything from there. Profit is zero because we moved it to the profit hold. Owner's comp is $100 because you took out money for yourself. Tax is zero because we transfer that money also to the tax hold. And operating expenses is $1,160. That's because you paid all your bills. And at your No Temptation account, which received its first ever deposits, your accounts will look like this. Profit hold will be $120 and tax hold $120. Profit hold and tax hold accounts are to hold the money that will be accumulating at your second bank. As new deposits come in, you will deposit them in the income account, and every future 10th and 25th, you will repeat the same five steps. Now, a big note here, there is a possibility that you will not have enough money in your accounts to pay your bills or to pay yourself what you need to make. This should be a major wake-up call. When you don't have enough money to pay your bills, it is your business screaming at the top of its lungs, warning you that you can't afford the bills you are incurring. Or, if there isn't enough money to pay your salary adequately, it is your business shouting at you that you can't run your business the way you've been running it. Otherwise, you will continually compromise yourself. Implementing Profit First didn't cause the crisis. It just helped you notice there is one. You are spending more money than your business can support. But don't panic. By using CAPS, you will adjust to the 10th and 25th rhythm as comfortably as possible. Even if you can't pay everything on those dates, you must get into this rhythm because it will allow you to get a sense of the accumulation and flow of money. As a heart pumps blood rhythmically, forming a heartbeat, the lifeblood of your business, money should flow in a similar rhythm, not in a random panicky pump here and there whenever you have funds. Quarter one. Quarterly distribution. The new quarter has arrived. Yippee! You are about to take your very first ever quarterly profit distribution check. That's right, baby. Your business is serving you now. You are going to take a profit distribution check every quarter. Every 90 days, profit will be shared with you. Take it in for a second. Every 90 days,